Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be here with you. And we take questions on the Catholic faith. But today, we got a question for you. Why aren't you Catholic? And if you're not a Catholic, we'd love to take your call, 888-318-7884. You might have noticed we've been doing more of these shows where we ask the listener, why aren't you Catholic? For two reasons. We have found that there are a lot of calls. Well, no, I'm going to even go with three reasons. We found that there are a lot of calls when we do this, meaning that people who are not Catholic want to talk about the Catholic faith. Reason number two is something is happening where there is a spiritual openness to the Catholic faith that we have not seen, or at least we didn't perceive 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 10 years ago. So we want to be, listen to where the Holy Spirit seems to be moving, and we really want to talk to non-Catholics. And the third reason is we think it's just really good. Like it seems to make very good radio and video content. So you might say, wow, I'm Catholic, and they keep doing these shows. You know, it seems like every week they've got one where it's, why aren't you Catholic? You're correct, and we have reasons for that, and I hope that you will at least consider being supportive of those reasons. We think that they are very, very good reasons. William Albrecht is our guest. You can call 888-318-7884 to talk to William. One of the great things that's happened this year here at Catholic Answers, in addition to all those other things I just mentioned, we've been having William on the show a lot, and it's been great for us. William Albrecht, bienvenidos.
Brother, wonderful being with you, my friend. I hope you're doing well. How you been?
What happened? I got no sound from William. I said I welcomed him in Spanish. I was so impressive. And then, all right, willkommen.
How about that, brother? You hearing me there?
Yeah, now I got you.
Great to be with you, brother. Always, always wonderful being with you, brother. Great to be here, my friend. How have you been?
I've been very well. I gave you the full trilingual welcome, English, Spanish, and German. All languages that I know how to say welcome in, but you know how to speak.
So. Right. Yeah, and I'm happy. I'm happy to be with you. I'm glad we've done shows before here in English and in Spanish. So, hey, who knows? Maybe one day we'll do the German one day. You never know.
I think that's actually a really good idea. I think we should just do it someday and just see who comes on. If the calls come from Germany. If you're in Germany, you got to dial 01 before you call us. But you can call, but you're going to have to speak in English today. Another day we'll let William speak German with you. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. The reason that William speaks three languages is he is a mercenary. He has fought in wars. No, that's not why. He says eyes got all wide. We don't have to get into why you speak three languages. But
I love that, though. I'm going to call myself the Catholic mercenary. You gave me that nickname.
Okay, good. Yes,
there you go.
You do that. William, tell people where they can find you on the internet. You've been doing more and more. I know you do tons of debates. You do a lot. You produce a lot of your own content. But where should people find you?
Yeah, they can find me on patristicpillars.com, or they can go to earlychurchfathers.com, and I can guarantee them that they're going to find a lot of early church father material. And I think they'll really like it. As you mentioned there, I'm debating a lot. In fact, every year I debate many times in English and in Spanish. In fact, my last Spanish debate was done for Catholic Answers. You can find it on Respuestas Católicas over there. I've gotten a lot of very good feedback from the Hispanic community. They have told me, Cy, that they've loved that debate. They love the shows. And I got to tell you one thing. Maybe you don't know it, Cy, but Edgar is very popular over there in that community. They love Edgar, man. I got to tell you.
Actually, William, I got to tell you, we're not paying them a lot, so could you just not say stuff like that? I mean, we have limited resources, so yeah. Edgar Lujano, who people who listen to this show know as our call screener and producer, and but he's the guy solely responsible for the Spanish content, and he made those shows and debates with William happen. And we'd like to do more of that, and we'd like to commit more resources to that. But that's probably a thing for the future to figure out how to get the.
Amen.
I am not on the team that finds out how to get those resources, but I know that they're working on it. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you are not a Catholic, this show is for you. And your call is very welcome. 888-318-7884. Just two lines open right now, and we will get to the calls momentarily. So who have you debated lately? What do you got?
Yeah, I've got a number of debates on schedule before the year is over. I'll be debating a Black Hebrew Israelite, one of their prominent leaders over there. And in fact, for people that may want to know, we've talked about the Black Hebrew Israelite movement right here in Catholic Answers. Check out the archives. We've talked about it. We've done a show about it. And then I'll be debating a scholar of Islam as well. So really, really looking forward to that. They'll be pretty fiery debates. I know that they'll be quite lively, but looking forward to that. I love debating. I love teaching. It truly is a passion. And I'll tell you one other thing. So I love being here with you guys. I love it. Feels like I'm here hanging out with family, with brothers, with sisters. It's great. I love it.
We love it too. It really has been one of the best things that's happened this year is the increase in the amount of times we've been able to have you on.
All right, Scott.
Every line full, but one, you ready to take some calls?
Let's do it. Let's go in.
Let's start in Indiana, where Chris is watching on YouTube. Chris, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for William.
Hi. Thank you, Si.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, William. We spoke a few
times. How
you
doing? Okay.
On your show. I'm doing good. How are you?
Okay. I don't remember. Forgive me. But I hope you enjoyed the conversation that we've spoken.
Absolutely. I'm Chris of St. Patrick.
Oh, okay. I remember you, brother. How you doing, my friend?
Great, great, brother. The question I have is really hard to even get out because I don't like confrontation with, you know, people that have other life choices, especially when they're not members of the church, because I don't feel it's our place to be, you know, judging people outside of the church rather than leading by example. To put this in as few words as possible, I just discovered last night a church in my town that's having a gay pride parade this week, on the 25th. And it's Beloved Inclusive Roman Catholic Church is the name of it. It's headed by a female bishop, quote unquote. Basically everything that, you know, is against our faith. And I reached out to him in kindness. I wasn't confrontational or rude or anything like that. To the people I reached out to with an email, and the only response I got back was, we are actually recognized as an apostolic community by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Yeah, so that is just, definitely Chris, that's, sorry about that, go ahead, finish your sentence, brother.
And I'm sorry, that was it. Just my concern about non-Catholics seeing that.
Yeah, definitely. Without a shadow of a doubt, my friend, they are not recognized. And I can tell you right now, I don't know what the letter that they sent to you says, but the USCCB would definitely not recognize them. Now, we've got to be very, very careful. Let me tell you one thing. There are a lot of so-called churches out there that have the title Catholic, my friend, and then they will claim to be in union. But it is a little bit of trickery. You got to be careful. They'll say, we are in union and recognized by the American Catholic Society. And I know it because I've dialogued with a lot of people. Well, what is the American Catholic Society? They're not in communion with Rome. Meaning, what they are doing is they are pretending to be in communion with the Bishop of Rome. They are not, meaning they are not Catholic. And under the Code of Canon Law, very clearly, you've got to be, number one, baptized and fully in communion with the church. In order to be able to claim you are Catholic, that is united to the Bishop of Rome, there in Rome. And another thing, the church does not permit the ordination of women. So to claim that there is a woman bishop or a woman priest or anything, the popes have been clear throughout all history. The Bible is very clear. The Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith is clear. And even Pope Leo came out recently very clear about that. So be very careful, my friend. Any group claiming to be Catholic with female clergy is definitely not Catholic. And I know that because, my friend, I get into dialogues with these people very often, and the Holy See is very, very clear about this. So you got to be careful. Whenever you read that there is a parish and they call themselves all-inclusive Catholic parish, and then you have female female priests, deaconesses, bishops, or what have you, then clearly we're able to discern that that is not a real Catholic church, unfortunately. Now, one thing I do want to say, for our friends out there that that do struggle with this, that the Catholic Church, as Pope Leo has said, is inviting of all. As he said, todos, everyone is welcome to the church. And in fact, I got to say, all of us need to get to church because all of us need to get to confession. We need to get to Holy Mass as often as possible. With that being said, even though everyone is welcome to church, what is not going to be condoned are the sins. We need to get cleaned up there at church. That is why we have the sacraments that our Lord gave us. And to be very careful, to be very, very clear, they're not in communion with Rome.
That was exactly my fear. You know, I don't want to judge anyone with a lifestyle like that, but it scares me the fear that it could be. I've struggled with my own, you know, I don't want to say the word online, you know, sexual desires,
sure.
But they were wrong, you know, and I would never be in church bragging about them. I think we all need to.
We all need the Lord, and your struggles are no lesser than my struggles. All of us struggle, including those that have that kind of inclination that we were talking about. All of us need to get to Holy Mass, to get to confession. That really clearly, that is why the Lord gave us all the sacraments. They're beautiful, and they are channels of grace, and we all need them. But to be very clear, don't worry, my friend. And another thing that I'd recommend you be careful of, and I know, if you watch any of my shows, you know it already. You know my warning. Be careful what content creators you're watching. If you're watching people that darken your soul and all it is doom and gloom, and they have nothing positive to say about the Holy Father, run the other way. Do not watch content that will darken the soul and that will chase any kind of scandal. Look for things that lift you up, and I cannot recommend Catholic Answers highly enough. As you know very well, I wouldn't be here if I didn't recommend them, and they do phenomenal material that will lift you up spiritually.
Chris, God bless you, brother. Thank you very much for the call. We have to take a quick break. Right back with Why Aren't You Catholic on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
Hello, friends. This is Deacon Charlie Echeverry from the Living the Call podcast, and I want to share with you a bit about why we need to go to confession. Reconciliation is our moment to speak to Christ honestly about our shortcomings. Confession is cathartic. It cleanses, it renews, and it strengthens all at the same time. If you haven't been to confession in a while, that's okay, but now might be that moment that God is calling you to come to Him and receive the grace of His mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. William Albrecht, our guest. PatristicPillars.com is where you can find what William is up to. But today, we're holding all the lines for non-Catholics. So if you are a non-Catholic, this is your opportunity. There's two lines open right now, 888-318-7884. Non-Christian, non-believer, whatever. Anybody that wants to talk to us about your perspective, where you're coming from, want to help us understand why you're not Catholic, we are, and we don't hide that, but we sure like talking to people about the Catholic faith, especially those who might not share it with us. 888-318-7884. Ariana, am I going to the right place? Yeah, is in Indiana? Watching on YouTube? I just got confused, Ariana, because you're the second caller from Indiana, and we don't usually start with two straight Indiana callers. That's a rarity.
I heard the other caller and I was like, oh, like another Indiana native. That's fun.
It's very.
Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, well, we're happy to have you, Ariana. Go ahead.
All right. So this is not for me, actually. This is for a friend who wasn't able to call in today.
Okay.
So because they're Protestant, so they told me to say that the reason they're not Catholic is because they've heard that every apostolic church claims to be the one true church.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha. Okay. So and they are struggling between, from what I gather, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're struggling between deciding between Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, Oriental, Assyrian Church of the East. That pretty much is what I gather. Yes. You mean? Okay. I gathered that that is what you meant. Now, as much as I love my Eastern Orthodox and Oriental Orthodox friends, and I'm not going to forget you, Assyrian Church of the East, we are aware that they all claim to be the one true church. And that is why, because they all preserve, they do, in one form or another, what we call valid apostolic succession. And they have a valid Eucharist. The church recognizes that. We have great dialogue with them. In fact, the Pope has had incredible dialogue with their patriarchs. We love them. They're near and dear. But there is only one visible church that our Lord founded that is the fullness of the truth. What I would tell them is, look, in the Bible, there is a promise given. And our Lord gives that to Peter, that upon Peter, I will build my church. But it doesn't end there. In John 10, the Gospel of St. John, we read, there will be one flock, one shepherd. And I would note that he didn't found multiple parallel apostolic communions. Now, not to mean that they don't have valid holy orders, they don't have a certain level of truth, they do. But the fullness of the truth is only found within Catholicism. So our Oriental friends, I love them. In fact, many of their clergy are near and dear friends. They have valid bishops, valid sacraments. But the reason that we are Catholic and we are not one of many apostolic churches is because the church alone, the Catholic Church alone, possesses that visible principle of unity, and that is the papacy. Now, that is the one area where we clearly are divided. And the one thing that I would tell your friend is, what does the Bible lay forth? The Bible lays forth that you need that office of the papacy to continue in perpetuity. I would also point one other thing out. If you look in early church history, how were the early churches, how was the church acting and living out? Well, before any schism, the first one that happened in the 400s, the church lived and recognized that the Pope was the head. The Bishop of Rome was the head shepherd of all of the faithful. And there is only one church today that upholds that truth, and that is the Catholic Church. And I would tell your friend to really, really look into that. And all I gotta use that old saying: all roads are going to lead to Rome when they look into early church history.
What do you think?
Okay.
Will that be helpful to you?
I think that will be. Thank you so much.
Well,
you can
offer pushback if you'd like. You can offer pushback if you'd like as well.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think you made some really good, valid points.
He does that.
Honestly, okay. And I will have to share this because
Ariana,
I don't really have any pushback on it.
I'd like to give you a gift if you want it, Ariana. All you have to do is hang on the line. Edgar will take your address, and I'll send you a book we have called The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. And this might help you in your own thinking about this and in helping other people see why, as I said, the Catholic Church is not a branch of Christianity. It's it's the root. What's the other thing called? Not the stump. It's definitely not the stump. I lost the word I was looking for, Ariana, but hang on. We'll send you a copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church if you want it. Andy is in Canada watching on YouTube. He paid the tariff to get his call through. We're glad you're here, Andy. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, how you doing, Cy?
Very well, thank you.
And William, is it?
Yes, William.
It sure is, brother.
Hey, just to let you know, I met you on a cruise in Canada.
Okay, that would be me, not William. Yeah, with Joe Heschmeyer, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so were we in Halifax when we met you?
No, but we had dinner together one night, me and my wife and also our mother-in-law and brother and father-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Andy, it's very nice to talk with you again. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, I got a question, and it's off topic, and it's regards to Revelation 20, 4-6. And it says, all saints will reign with Christ for 1,000 years, right? and it says the rest of the souls will be sleeping. So my question is, do these souls who are sleeping wait for the final judgment, or do they go to Gehenna or whatever?
Yeah,
yeah.
Great question.
And I've heard, and the Catholic Church doesn't really explicitly define that, so to speak. So my question is, do the rest of the souls sleep until the final coming, as it says in Revelation 20?
Okay.
Yeah, let's look at Revelation 20. To be clear for the audience, we're not going to go over all of it, but to lay it out for you, the church may not have a dogmatic interpretation on Revelation 20, but the church does have a dogmatic interpretation on whether or not soul sleep is a thing that one can hold to, and they definitely cannot. And I'll tell you why they are not literally asleep. Well, to be very clear, in the Bible, that word sleep is a metaphor for bodily death, not for their inactivity. Now, how do we know that? Because in the very same book, over and over, those that are asleep, we read, are calling out and crying out from under the altar, when will they be avenged? Meaning that they are aware of events on earth, and even though they are bodily dead, they are able to be active and be aware of things. Another thing, those that are asleep, we're told in Revelation 5, are interceding for us in heaven. So all we have to do is remember, when the Bible is talking about those who are asleep, it only means their bodies are dead, not that their souls are unconscious. So the souls of the righteous, like those that are seen by St. John, they are alive and they are conscious in heaven. They are not asleep. But yes, to answer your question, will people be waiting for the general resurrection to receive their bodies? Yes, definitely they will. But the first resurrection means this. It means the soul's entry into eternal life. Now, when we read that in verses 5 to 6, that is not a physical resurrection yet. That is what we would call a spiritual one. The entry of the souls of the faithful into what we call the beatific vision. But then if you look in Revelation 20, we read that those martyrs are reigning with Christ in heaven. Now, it then says the rest of the dead do not share this until the judgment. Now, that is what we know as a second resurrection. What does that mean? That is the general bodily resurrection. So, yes, you have a whole lot right there, but I only want to really emphasize, what does it mean by asleep? Well, it doesn't mean that they're not conscious of what is happening.
I'm going to come back to just see if that made sense to you, Andy.
It does. Like, the souls of the saints reign with Christ for 1,000 years is how I read it. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then the rest sleep until the final judgment. That's the question. In other words, no souls go to hell until the final judgment. Is that what that says?
It is talking about these particular souls, but as far as there being souls in hell, that is definitely, the church does teach that is a reality. But in this particular passage here, what we're reading about is we're reading about bodily death and we're reading about the general judgment, though. So it is also talking about a reign. Now, what kind of a reign? The church interprets the 1,000-year reign in a spiritual and presently kind of manner, not as a literal kind of 1,000-year kingdom on earth. So when it says the reign of Christ in Revelation 20, it is talking about the spiritual reign of Christ through his holy ones, both the church on earth and the souls of the just in heaven. So think about those in heaven that are being talked about here. This does not have anything to do with ones that are condemned, although there are other passages that do give that imagery.
I am going to leave it there, Andy. I hope that was helpful. Thank you very much for the call. And now I'm going to another Canadian, a couple Indianans, and now a couple Canadians, Tim in Alberta, Canada. Listening on the app, the Catholic Answers Live app. Welcome, Tim. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really love the app. I've just been devouring everything, you know.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. Yeah, they worked really hard on that app, and I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
Good work. So my question, I'm Catholic, but I'm speaking for a lot of atheists, a lot of people that I try to do apologetics with and just talking about our faith. And the biggest hurdle that I come across is the Catholic Church and residential schools. Wow. How do we approach it? You know, this is a big topic, you know, and there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt from it. And so it's like approaching it with reverence, but also approaching it from the Catholic eye. Like, how do we make of this? How do we work with this, you know?
I'll tell you what, Tim, this is a magnificent and important question. I got to ask you to wait through the break to get an answer because the music is playing. But how do you talk to non-Catholics who say they don't want to be Catholic because of the way Native people were treated in residential schools?
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whyweearecatholic.com.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Why aren't you Catholic? That's our question today. There's three lines open, 888-318-7884. If you're not a Catholic, maybe you're an unbeliever. Maybe you're like, I just don't believe in God. That's why I'm not a Catholic. But if you just said that, I don't believe in God. That's why I'm not a Catholic. We would have a great conversation. I guarantee you we would have a great conversation. So you call and say that if you want. Maybe you're like, I believe in God, but you know, I don't believe in Jesus. Okay. That'll do it. Or maybe you're like this. I believe in Jesus, but I don't think I need to go to a priest for confession. I don't believe in purgatory or praying to Mary. You know, whatever your reason is, if you're not a Catholic, we would love to hear from you. 888-318-7884. Our non-scientific surveys so far today suggest that all of the non-Catholics live either in Indiana or Canada. Those are the two locations for all of the non-Catholics who have called us thus far. Tim's up there in Alberta, Canada, which I think is in Saskatchewan. I don't actually know much about Canada. I don't know. I'll ask Tim where it is. But he's trying to evangelize. He's trying to do apologetics with his with people he knows in Canada. And this is a big issue in Canada. There's the residential schools. There's the way that First Nation people, as they say up there in Canada, were treated, especially children. So how do you respond to, like, look, I can't be Catholic. Look at how these people behave.
Yeah, I love that you bring that up. Now, the one thing that we've got to do is recognize that all throughout history, early as the Bible, there are people that are living carnal lives that are not following what Christ taught. And the idea that there are people that treated other groups of people wrong in a very wrong and unfortunate manner is very true, but the church has always condemned that. The one thing I would do is say, look, the church has always been very clear, and the one thing that I would point to that I have used a lot in dialoguing with my Native American friends, because I have many of them, is Sublimus Deus from the 1500s. If you've never heard of it, now you have, and I've used it a lot. Show them that key teaching from Pope Paul III, where he tells you right there that Indians truly are men. They're women. They're not to be deprived of their liberty or to be treated incorrectly. And let me tell you one other thing. What did the Pope do during that time to anyone that treated them incorrectly? They were excommunicated. There are many examples of the church standing up for Native Americans over and over throughout early church history and throughout the medieval history as well. Particular medieval history is what I'm talking about. The one thing that I would do as well, my friend, is I would be clear that the example I like to use is the way Judas betrayed. He betrayed his fellow apostles, and his betrayal was horrible. It did not invalidate the mission of Christ. Just like the sins of colonists or anyone, even any sins of anyone that calls himself Catholic, that would not invalidate the truth of Catholicism. I would be very clear that the church has always taught the truth of human dignity. And if there are members that have not lived that to the fullness, we definitely have to call them to repentance and realize there are a lot of people that did not live up to the faith in the proper way. But I would say the church has publicly pointed out that these atrocities need to be condemned. And I believe Pope St. John Paul II went very far to calling out those atrocities in the past and to noting that they were unfortunate. Pope Francis did so as well. And I wouldn't be shocked if Pope Leo did it soon as well.
What does that help you, Tim, or what do you think?
Yeah, that was really good. The word you said again, I'd like to get that again. It was like a 5-cent word.
Sublimus Deus.
That's in the U.S. That's a 25-cent word. Yeah, I don't know what the economy's like up there.
That's a loony up here.
You know what that is. Oh yeah, loony. All right. Loony. So that's Latin. That's the Latin. William, okay. Give it to him real slow again.
Okay, Sublimus Deus.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And yes, Paul III is the one that put it out. You can find it very easily. All you have to do is Google it. You'll find the whole thing online.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you very much for laying it out and giving me some resources. I really appreciate that.
Tim, God bless you as you continue to evangelize and do apologetics with folks. It ain't easy in the modern world, and God bless you for doing it. Thank you for the call. The number here is 888-318-7884. Keel is in Cleveland, Ohio. Watching on YouTube. Keel, why aren't you Catholic?
Well, my latest obstacle.
Okay.
I was looking things up while I was waiting, and I can't believe this. I probably should have just hung up. So I know that I have heard, even on Catholic radio, prayers to saints that were a request for action rather than for intercession. The one that leaps to mind is listening to EWTN and a prayer to St. Joseph. So I looked it up, and actually I'm reading it and thinking, okay, well, maybe not. But I know that I have heard, so I just need to know that I know that I know.
Okay.
That the only appropriate prayer to a saint is for intercession and not for them to protect me or... I just remember a request for protection and even Thanksgiving for protection. Maybe one to St. Mike, Michael the Archangel.
Oh, yeah, we do that one all the time. Yeah, defend us. We actually ask St. Michael to defend us directly. If I could ask you, Keel, I'm going to let William take this question. I'm not going to delay it, but I do want to ask you. You said this is the latest objection, and I understand that completely. And that's a perfectly reasonable way to go about it. Check off the list and see which ones you have had dealt with. But are you coming from a Protestant background, particularly a non-liturgical Protestant background?
I am coming from a Reformed charismatic background.
Okay.
And thanks to you, I mean, when I said my most recent obstacle. What I meant was there have been many, and you guys have knocked them down one by one.
Yes.
So, yeah, I didn't mean to be facetious or anything.
Well, it's funny because...
Go
ahead, Kiel. I'm sorry.
It's like playing whack-a-mole. You know, you guys take care of one and then another one. So,
well, I just wanted to point out that Catholics, I mean... talking about the intercession of the saints is not really difficult for Catholics if we're talking to Hindus, if we're talking to Orthodox Christians. The trouble is mostly with non-liturgical Christians who don't have a liturgical practice of the faith. It's a difficult conversation to have. So sometimes we exaggerate. I have noticed this, and William can tell me if he's noticed this. Sometimes when we're talking to Protestants, we actually exaggerate the intercession only thing as a way of making friends, and one of the things about the saints is a saint in heaven, is he less powerful than me or more powerful than me? And I would submit to you, he's more powerful than me because he is in Christ. He's fully, or she is fully in Christ. So I think we do have a little bit of, there's a limitation on language here. As I said, I didn't want to interrupt William, and he can go a completely different direction than I go. But I do sometimes feel that Catholic apologists are in a position with Protestants of almost sterilizing the Catholic teaching to prevent it from having any hint that a saint might still be powerful in heaven.
Yeah. Let me get clarification from you, Kiel. By the way, that was great the way you laid that out, Si. Kiel, is your issue, from what I gather, to me it seems your issue is not intercession, but invocation. Is that the problem?
Yes. I have come to believe that the saints intercede for us.
Praise God.
Okay.
To my family, her husband, but it's the, I know I've heard people say that a saint healed them. And my understanding up to this point had been, well, I mean, you prayed for their intercession and they were healed, but no, it really sounded like, oh, this saint healed me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing that is important is that we tend to use this language within Catholicism a lot, and there's nothing wrong with it because we recognize that even if, let me give you an example, even if Cy were to tell me one day, I prayed to Holy Mother Mary, and the Holy Mother Mary healed me of this particular malady. Well, Sai knows that it's all because of Christ.
Amen.
But Mary is a wonderful intercessor. So we know that. So very often you will hear that kind of language being used, but it's perfectly biblical. Let me show you an example why, Kiel. If you open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians 9:22, you're going to read language that might seem shocking to you. Paul says, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Paul is telling you he is able to save some. And in Romans 11, he says it again, that he might save some. But then also in 1 Timothy 4, he is telling the followers, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching, for by doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Well, are we then going to say, well, Paul is using language that indicates that he is the Redeemer and God is not? No. Paul knows that the head Redeemer, the main Redeemer, is Christ. But we can be co-Redeemers and co-workers with God through our ministry of helping others receive salvation. That is very biblical. So there's nothing wrong with using the language of St. Michael, guard us, protect us, in battle, because we're told right there in the Bible, in particular, in 2 Thessalonians 3, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. That language of guarding is used all over the Bible. But let me give you one more thing. Your issue seems to be with invocation. And I encounter a lot of people that go from Protestantism to becoming Catholic in 2025, where they will tell us, I agree with intercession, but where is invocation? If you open up Psalm 103, 20-22, you literally have the psalmist saying, bless the Lord, all his angels, bless the Lord, all his hosts. But if you read it carefully, that is a vocative call. In the Hebrew and the Greek, the author of the psalm is talking directly to heavenly beings, telling them, bless the Lord, his angels. He is invoking them to join in praising of God. That is a direct invocation. So now you know the Bible does allow you to talk about holy ones in heaven interceding for you, but also invocation of them. As my dear friend, Dr. Carlo Broussard, I have to say doctor, he'll get mad if I don't say doctor.
He's
as
so Dr. Carlo, picky about that. Yeah
he really is, man. As Dr. Carlo Broussard would tell you, who, by the way, wrote an incredible book on this, he will tell you, invocation and intercession, they go hand in hand. And again, you've got that right there in the Bible in Psalm 103. Let me give you another one. In the book of Sirach, chapter 48, the author is directly addressing Elijah. Elijah's in heaven. And the author is telling Elijah in heaven, how glorious are you? You were taken up. You are ready. But that is vocative language again in the Greek, meaning that Elijah is being invoked, directly spoken to. There you've got multiple examples of invocation of holy ones that are in heaven there, Kiel.
Wow. I do, one thing that I have really appreciated about Catholicism is the richness and the depth that I see in the communion of the saints. And it was a big deal even just to, you know, be able to realize that they intercede. But it's going to take me a minute to get to that next step of invocation. I totally see what you're saying now. And again, the beauty of the Catholic Church is the real reality of participation in each other's lives in every way. And I think Tim Staples explained, know, that if you were to read it simply, it does sound like we are saving each other. And really what we're saying is that we are participating in God's work in each other.
There you go.
We do.
And if the great Saint Paul can say that, why can't we then ask for the guardianship of Saint Michael, who is literally the commander of God's army, who literally knocked Satan down? We most definitely can, and we should, because that is an ancient practice. Think about that. He is there in heaven interceding for us. So if Saint Paul can save some while on earth, imagine in heaven. The Bible tells you that they're not cut off from us. They are more alive in heaven than when they were on earth. Imagine how they are able to help you when they're in heaven.
Amen, amen. Kiel, I'll tell you what. We have Dr. Carlo Broussard's book, The Saints Pray for You. If you would like a free copy of it, we can certainly send it to Cleveland. All you have to do is hang on and give us an address, okay?
Thank you. Thanks so much, Cy.
I always enjoy talking with you, and what a beautiful conversation. This is why we got to keep having these shows for non-Catholics to call, because as a Catholic, I never think through intercession and invocation and all that stuff in the way that I do when somebody challenges me on it and wants to know the answer. You just don't. You kind of live it and breathe it in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But it's good to think through it. All right, we better take a quick break. Kiel, hang on. So The Saints Pray for You is on its way to Cleveland if you give us an address. Right back with more. William Albrecht asking you, why aren't you Catholic on Catholic Answers Live?
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. I invite you to listen to Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. On Bible in a Year, we're reading all the way from Genesis through Revelation, plus time for explanations and reflections to help us go deeper into God's Word, encounter His voice, and learn how to live life through through the lens of Scripture.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Sometimes you get a call, you just feel like, well, that's it. Let's just pack it in. That's the show. So I really enjoy talking with Kiel in Cleveland, Ohio. And it's fun to hear, you know, you got to think through this stuff. Nobody's asking you to be a Catholic stupidly. You know, nobody's saying, like, you can be a Catholic with childlike trust, and which I feel like I need to do a lot because I just don't understand it. I go, I don't understand that. I trust the church on a yep. lot of stuff. But it's thinking it through is a good thing, not a bad thing. And so you just feel so inspired when you meet a person like Kiel who is listening to what the church has to say and thinking it through.
Amen.
Why aren't you Catholic? That's what we're asking you. If you're not a Catholic and you're willing to tell us, 888-318-7884. I'm going to list all the types of people who have not called today. We have not had any Hindu callers. We have not had any Buddhist callers. We have not had any Shinto callers. We have not had any Communist Worker Party callers. We have not had any former Communist Worker Parties who are now afraid of the Communist Worker Party calling. I can't actually go on. That's enough. But we need some of you to call. Tell us why you're not Catholic. 888-318-7884. Communists are the craziest religion because they constantly are breaking off into little factions. Like, I'm with Lenin, I'm with Trotsky, and then I'm with Trotsky in this period. Oh, I'm with Trotsky. Like, there's nothing more religious than a good atheist communist. They're the most religious people in
the
world.
No doubt. By the way, we also need, hey, come on, we need our Eastern Orthodox and our Oriental Orthodox friends. You guys got to call in too.
Oh, I was scared of them. Okay, you're not scared of them. Okay, all right.
888-318-7884.
Isaac in Fort Collins, Colorado, watching on YouTube. I hope you're a violent atheist communist. We're looking forward to that conversation, Isaac, if you are. If you're just on hold, that would be fine too. Are you with us, Isaac?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
All right. How's your communist life going? I'm just kidding, Isaac. I'm sorry. Oh. I was goofing around and I apologize. I messed up the phone while I was doing it. Isaac, we are delighted you're here. Why aren't you Catholic?
Yeah, so actually I'm Catholic, but I have a question that comes from on behalf of a lot of Protestants.
Okay.
And that is that Catholics are too obsessed with the physical. For example, miraculous medals, scapulars, St. Michael pendants, and St. Michael the Archangel pendants, and that they're associated with spiritual protection. It's not in the Bible. How would you respond to a Protestant raising this objection?
Okay. I would reply by noting that, number one, the Catholic Church has always distinguished between a sacrament, which has been instituted by Christ, and sacramentals. Now, what are the sacramentals? They are instituted by the Church under the authority of our Lord. But they're both very good. There's nothing wrong with them at all. But in terms of a sacramental, a holy object, I wouldn't say that we're obsessed with anything outside of the biblical norm. Now, what is one thing that I've always got here in my desk, and I don't know, maybe Cy has some as well there, but I've always got holy water, man. I've always got holy water near me, and it's biblical. Numbers 5:17, holy water is used for ritual purification. But that isn't it. The Bible has examples of holy objects that are used for blessing all over the place. If you think of, and off the top of my head, where it is biblically, I know it's in the book of Numbers, I don't remember the chapter, but the bronze serpent. What happens with a bronze serpent? Well, God is using a physical object, Brother Isaac, and that object is being used as an instrument to heal people. But here's another thing. People that think that we are obsessed with physical objects, well, that is the way the Bible lays it out, to have a healthy respect and veneration for them. Indeed, in 2 Kings 13, when a dead man touches the bones of Elisha, he's revived. he is revived with the relics of a prophet, showing that he carries divine power. So we see all throughout the Bible that God does use physical things to bless people. So there's nothing wrong with a sacramental. Indeed, you can look at our Lord's garment. When people touched it, what happened? They became well. That is a physical garment. But then if people say, well, hold on, guys. Hold on, Cyan William. Don't pull a fast one. That belonged to our Lord. Without a doubt, that would heal people. You guys are pulling a tricky one. Well, if you look in the book of Acts, chapter 19, we literally read, God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. But in what way? So that handkerchiefs or aprons that touched skin were carried to the sick, and they were healed. Literally, the healing was brought about by a physical object. So here's the one thing that I would tell your Protestant friend. Sacramentals, wearing a scapular or a medal, is a way of expressing our faith. And in fact, you had Israelites, ancient Israelites, that did similar things. They wore phylacteries as reminders of God's law. And if these help to remind us of walking with the Lord in a holy manner, they point to God, not away from him. There's nothing wrong with them at all. Remember what our Lord does, Brother Isaac. He will condemn a man-made tradition that nullifies the word of God. But these traditions are not rooted in anything contrary to the word of God. And I follow, just as my friend Jimmy Akin points out, hey, if the Bible doesn't condemn it, as Jimmy says, and it points to good and it gives honor and glory to God, well, hallelujah, man. I've got no problem having these visible extensions that show that I truly do love God. I think it's a very biblical thing.
Isaac, I want to come back to you and get your response.
Yeah, honestly, that answered my question greatly. So I'll definitely bring that up next time anybody objects.
All right. Well, Isaac, I'll tell you what, since William was quoting Jimmy Akin, I'll send you Jimmy Akin's book, A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist, because whether you know it or not, what you're doing is apologetics. And he's got 366 questions with answers in there, and they're wonderful. So if you want it, hang on. We'll send it to you. I'm going to Ben in Atlanta, Georgia, watching on YouTube. Welcome, Ben. Thank you for waiting. Why aren't you Catholic?
What's up? Unfortunately, I'm a Lutheran and not a communist. So
okay. Sorry. That's a big disappointment to us, Ben, but we'll take Lutherans.
Okay, so, and this actually goes perfectly with what you were talking about before. But my question is, when I'm kind of discerning the claims of the church and trying to decide whether the church is the true church or not, I definitely see scripture as something to weigh that against, not just in like a sola scriptura sense, but just in general, because it is the word of God. So how should I approach that in terms of like my Lutheran catechesis, like on faith and works, things like that? How do I approach that without hardening my heart, if that makes sense?
Well, you can look to the Bible to note that the Bible, it does tell you right there, it does commend oral apostolic tradition, does in 2 Thessalonians 2. So you can clearly look at the Bible and then compare, okay, what is Catholicism teaching about Mary, about any of the saints, any of the teachings like purgatory, prayer for the dead? Does it line up with what I find in the Bible? And then early church history. Now, we don't believe in Bible alone theology. We don't. But we believe you can look at the Bible. You can find the kernel of truth there if you don't find it in a very clear laid out way. And then you can look in early church history and then compare. And then you can decide, okay, does this line up with my current faith? Is Catholicism really the truth? And I think everything will lead you to the door of Catholicism.
Ben, I bet you probably have follow-ups, and we're at the top of the hour. And usually I don't ask people to hold on, but if you want to have a follow-up question, it can be our first question of the next hour. If you want to just come back, if you let go of the line, that's fine. It won't hurt our feelings. But if you would like to follow up, we'll be gone for a couple minutes. We'll start the next hour, and then your follow-up question can be the first question for William, if you'd like. William Albrecht is our guest. Why aren't you Catholic is our topic, and at this moment, we have worked through all of our calls except for Ben. So five lines open, 888-318-7884. If you are not a Catholic and you'd like to talk to some Catholics about why that is, 888-318-7884.